Blog Talk Radio.
Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we?
Shalom, shalom, family. Shalom, shalom, shalom to all my listening audience. This is Yara Al from Beth Yahweh Camp with another edition of Can It Be That Simple? I'm going to start off with a brief prayer, asking the Most High to give us understanding, opening our eyes, opening our ears to hear the wonders of His truth, the wonders of His word tonight. Merciful Father God, we thank Thee in the name of Thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, for giving us another opportunity to listen and hear and travel through Your word. We ask of Thee once again to open our hearts and open our minds to receive the wonders and the truth, the light of Thy word on this evening. We ask of Thee to allow this word to open our hearts and strengthen us to stand firm in Your word. For the adversary is out there. He's coming strong. He's coming strong. But we know that if we stand on Your word, that we can defeat him. We thank Thee in the name of Thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King. Amen. So, we're in another edition of Can It Be That Simple? And the subject matter is yet another simple matter. Well, not really a simple matter, but a simple subject that sometimes we tend to overlook. So far, we've talked about time, we talked about life, we talked about peace, we talked about death. Now, what we're going to talk about today is sin. What is sin? Many people have their own renditions of what sin is, but we're going to dig into the scriptures and see what the scriptures say what sin is and how we can overcome sin. This is one of those subjects that, you know, I really don't want to dig deep and hang on it because ultimately this is what we're trying to remove from us. We're trying to remove sin. And we want to put forth the greatest effort to remove sin from our system, from our minds, from our intellect, from our being. So once we understand what it is, we have to acknowledge what it is and confront it. And try to get rid of it. Because in the end, sin leads to what we talked about last week, death. Because there is a scripture that refers to sin and death. So the two of them go hand in hand. So, I'm going to start off, as you know, we're going to start off with a couple of scriptures that we have already read over in the process of dealing with our subject matters throughout the past couple of weeks. And as, you know, if you've been listening, you'll see how the subjects mend together to paint a particular picture as one of the things or the struggles that we deal with as humanity. So we're going to start off, like always, I'm gonna, you know, remind everyone to grab your notebooks, grab your pens, your pencils, your concordance, your Bibles, and follow with me. Search out the word that I'm, you know, the scriptures that I give, the different words that I give. Search them out And that way the Most High can give you an even deeper understanding of the scriptures that's being brought out. And that way you can share this with someone else. So we're going to start off in Genesis. We've been there before, Genesis 2:17. And this is the initial command that was given to Adam. And it reads, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die." So right here, as we talked before, this is an initial command that was given to Adam. So from this point, what is he doing? The Most High is actually giving him a choice. You know, because he said the day of it, the day that you eat of it. He's telling them not to eat something. So, and understanding human nature, but at this point, you know, human nature hasn't really been put out there yet. So, from there, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And it reads, "When woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate." So I'm going to stop at the end of this particular scripture, and it says he ate. See, because we know that the initial command was given to him. And because the woman ate, he felt as though that he should eat also. So this is where we get to the disobedience. So now from there, this is, you know, because after he ate, we know the rest of the story where the Most High removed him from the garden, because we know within the garden was also the tree of life. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis 4:7. And it reads, and this particular scripture is talking about Cain and Abel. And what it is, the Most High, he's talking to Cain because Cain gave up an offering, just as well as Abel gave up an offering. However, the offering that Cain gave up, the Most High was not satisfied with it, and he brought it to his attention. So this is what the scripture reads, and it says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you refuse to do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. You are its object of desire, but you must master it." So right here is letting you know if you're going to be doing wrong, if you're not going to be doing right, see, sin is right there crouching at the door, waiting for you not to do right. It's waiting for you not to do right. See, because we have to come to understand that our initial nature after the fall is not to do right. But right here, Yahweh is talking to Cain, and he's giving him the option and encouraging him to do right. Because if he does right, then he will also be accepted. And is letting us know that we are the masters over sin. This is what it's telling us right here. So from there, we're going to go to the definition of the word sin in this particular scripture. And it's in your Hebrew concordance, and it's 24:03. And it's kata'a, and it comes from kata. But the definition that is, the short definition is sin. Then you have offenses, sometimes habitual sinfulness. And habitual means that you're constantly doing it over and over and over again. And another definition it has, it's penalties, sacrifices, because these are different things that sin got you, you know, because when you sinned, there was a penalty for sin. You know, there was a sacrifice that you had to do for sin. You know, there was a level of purification that you had to do because of sin. That was an offering you had to do for sin. So now we're going to go to the word that kata'ah comes from, and it comes from kata'ah, which means sin, bearing the blame, cleansing, commit sin by fault, harm, loss, miss, go wrong. These are the definitions. And that word kata is 2398 in your Strong's Concordance. And throughout the lesson, when we're dealing with the term, when we're dealing with sin, I'm going to really focus on missing, to miss. And what we're missing when we sin, we're missing the mark. We're missing perfection. Because ultimately, when the Most High created humanity, he created humanity to be perfect like himself. However, because of the influence of HaSatan, humanity lost its perfectness. However, it got what it was looking for, because when he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is the aspect in which he started to learn. So when we're going to go to that particular scripture, I was going to deal with that later. However, we're going to deal with that now because we're dealing with that particular scripture. And 2:17, Genesis 2:17, because that's where we started from. And the word evil in that scripture is ra, and it means adversity. So in the beginning, Yahweh was telling man, if he ate of the knowledge of good, and we defined that in our previous class, good meaning beautiful, meaning pleasing. Now we have the term evil, which is in that same scripture, which means adversity, affliction, calamities, displeasure, distress. So when we look at the word evil, evil is the opposite of good. Now we have to, as believers, have to decide whether or not we want to be pleasing to the Most High, or do we want to be in conflict? Do we want to displease the Most High, and both physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Is that what we want for ourselves? Do we want to be wicked in the eyes of the Most High? Because when we sin, these are the things that we do. He brings those calamities toward us because he wants us to have all good. He wants us to be pleasant to him. He wants us to be a sweet savor to him when we give up our praise to him. But when we're sinful, what is it? It's a stench to his nose. Because he hears you also when you're sinning, when you're doing wrong, when you're missing the mark. He's still there. And we as Israel, he chose us. Not because we were greater than anyone, but he chose us because he chose us to be a light to those in the world. He chose Israel to be a sacrifice to all humanity so that all humanity can look to Israel to see the goodness of Yahweh. So, and going back to, so now we're going to go to some other scriptures. I looked up, let me go to another one. Sin from the Greek, and sin from the Greek is 2266, and it's hamartia, and it means properly to miss the mark, hence guilty sin, fault, failure, and an ethical sense, sinful deeds. So as we read the different scriptures throughout the course of the night, bear in mind these particular definitions for the term sin. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 13. No, don't want to go there yet. Don't want to go there yet. I want to go somewhere else first. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." So, when we deal with the previous scripture where it says sin crouches at the door, see, sin is giving you those empty words, those vain words. And we know who brings the sin into the world, that iniquity that was found in him is Hasatan and his minions. So it's Hasatan and his minions who are sitting down, crouching down, waiting for you to slip up so that they can talk to you and give you vain words to possibly try to get you to be displeasing to Yahweh. Scripture reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, and it reads, "Throwing down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Yahushua." So understanding our thoughts, our thought pattern, and when it's not going toward the thinking of righteousness, it's thinking about being evil and displeasing to the Most High. Because that's what this tree that Adam ate from brought to the world, the knowledge of good and evil. So where's these imaginations? These imaginations, these are the thoughts that are in humanity's mind. And humanity's mind is to go contrary or miss the mark when it comes to being righteous and serving Yah. John 5:17 reads, "All unrighteousness is sin, yet there is a sin that does not lead to death." When I read this, it was like, wow, what is this talking about? Because as we know, sin is lawlessness, breaking the law. So it took me to Hebrews 8:12, and it reads, "For I will be merciful to the unrighteous. I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more." Then from there, I went to 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7, and it reads, "But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yahushua, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So now, what is he talking about? When we're talking about sin, we have to also understand he cleansed us from the law of sin and death. We talked about that in the last session, the law of sin and death. When we please the Most High, why? Because we believe and understand that the blood of Yahushua, that last sacrifice that was for us, cleansed us and was that last sacrifice for the law of sin and death. So we have to practice and understand that our goal is to be righteous and to do the right thing. So we go to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace be abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So when we take in or believe in that Yahushua was that sacrifice for us, and he laid his life down for us for sin's sake, we're not supposed to overuse grace. We're not supposed to be habitual, as we read earlier, in regard to sin, and our minds habitually waking up and thinking about what can we do wrong? What can we do wrong today? No, we're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to do that. From there, went to Romans chapter 7, verse 7, and it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. However, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covenant unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So we have to go back to the time before the law was actually even given. And as we deal with the story of Cain and Abel, how he killed his brother, but it wasn't counted to him as murder. It wasn't counted to him as that. It wasn't. But it was after Moshe penned the law that man knew what thus saith Yahweh, as far as what was right and what was wrong. So we go to Romans chapter 6, verses 23, and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in Yahushua. And when we look at that term wages, wages mean compensation, payment. So when we sin, we have got our payment. We have a payment that's due to us, and that payment is when we sin, death. Our compensation, death. Just like we go out there and we work for someone, at the end of the week, we expect to get paid for the deeds that we did, for the work that we put in. So we putting in work to sin and displease the Most High, what is he going to do? He's going to give us our just due, death. Because that is the wages for sin, death. Just like when he told Adam, you eat of it, you will die. Why? Because now you're not pleasing to me. You're sinning against me. Want to go to 1 John 3:4 just to define what sin is. And it reads, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, we know that, you know, you have, you know, one of the questions that we tend to say in Beth Yahweh camp is, what law? Everything Yahweh say is law. You know, he has the laws of, you know, that, you know, that's in the Torah and the instructions. He has different laws that he laid down throughout the scriptures. So when you transgress or not do what Most High say, you're sinning. You're sinning. And when you sin, as we just got finished reading, your payment for that is death. So now we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. And right here in this scripture is, you know, the Torah is being referred to as wisdom. And it reads, but he who sins against me, and this is wisdom, wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. See, because now what are they doing? They are not loving the Torah. They're not loving wisdom. And they're showing hate. An enemy. They're dealing with the Torah based on, as we read recently, the carnal mind. How the carnal mind is enmity against God and not subject to his laws. Not subject to his instructions. See, because we know the Torah is his instructions for mankind. Now, one of the things that came to my mind when in doing this study is that something else accompanies when we sin. And this particular passage is coming from Genesis chapter 42, verses 21. And this passage is dealing with the story of Joseph and his brothers. At this particular moment, the brothers are actually in front of Joseph. And this is what they're saying. And this is, again, Genesis chapter 42, verses 21. They said to one another, we are certainly guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we wouldn't listen. Therefore, his distress has come upon us. So what came upon them was that guilt, was that evil inclination that they had done to him. See, they sinned against their brother and sold him into slavery. And now they're in a situation where they had to give another brother up. And the guilt of the first brother was weighing on them. And they felt really bad. So I looked the word guilt up in this particular scripture. And it's in your Strong's Concordance, 818, guilty. Asham. And it means definition guilt. And it means guilt. And guilty. And then from there, just, you know, I looked up the word, oh, we already went over this. Dealt with evil. We dealt with adversity. Yeah, I remember I said this lesson was going to be kind of short because I really don't want to really stay on sin so long, because sin is something that we warn against. We're trying to get rid of that. And we have to understand and acknowledge that sin is always crouching at our door. Sin is always waiting for us. The adversary is always there whispering, trying to encourage us to cleave to our human nature, our carnal nature. But we're trying to rise above that nature and pull in that spirit of Yeshua and allow him to live through us so that he can get rid of those sinful inclinations from us, and that we can be diligent and want to do the Father's will. Just as he did, and become perfect, like the intention for mankind was intended. We say he created man in his likeness and after his image. So from there, I went to Matthew's 5:48, and it says, therefore, ye shall be perfect, just as the Father in heaven is perfect. See, that's what our goal is. See, that's what the mark that when we sin, we miss the perfection of the Father. That's what we miss when we sin. But he sent the Son down so that we can see the example of us doing that, and understanding that if we see someone doing these things, if we read about someone who is doing these things and overcoming sin in the flesh, then we have hope that we can also do it with his help. And if we keep our eyes on him, and his deeds that he has done and try to emulate and try to reflect that same light in this world today, then other people may want to cleave to that light also and strive for perfection. Then from there, I went to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 31. And it reads, "As for Mighty One, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tested. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him." Remember last week we was talking about him being a refuge, him being a strong tower that we can run to. Why? Because he has peace. He brings peace unto us. And if he brings peace unto us, then we can bring peace unto others through the light of Yahushua, through the words of truth when we speak Torah, when we speak from the prophets and the writings. For we become living Torah. We become living spokesmen. We become witnesses. Because that's what he called Israel. Israel is supposed to be a witness to the world of the goodness of Yahweh. And this is the last scripture that I have for tonight. And I want to encourage everyone who's listening tonight to not take the word sin lightly. Do not take the actions of being sinful lightly. Because many people tend to gloss over it and they take grace and mercy for granted. I believe there's a scripture that said he doesn't deal with us expedient. But if we pay attention to some of the stories in the past, there was a time where he showed grace and mercy and allowed certain stuff. But then eventually, he decided to punish you for it. He decided to punish Israel for it. Punish them. Thinking that they would learn. See, but where we're at in Bible time, we're supposed to learn from the mistakes of the past. We're not supposed to be making the same exact mistakes. We have the ability to make better choices. But then we have to believe that the word is true. And that the Most High is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm going to conclude with this scripture. Let me check to make sure this is right, because I believe I may have. And I hope that everyone is getting things from these classes on right before the Shabbat come in, and hoping that, you know, the Most High is opening your heart and opening your mind. And when you go to your Shabbat services and allowing from the things that's been talked about during the evening, being opened up during the day. Let me go here. Let's make sure that this is, let's see. Yes. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. I think I read this already, for real. Wait a minute. I think I read it already. But I'm going to read it again. Yep, I sure did read it. I think I wanted to conclude the lesson with this one. Yeah, but I read it earlier in regards to Hasatan crouching at the door. And I'm going to read it again. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. But because of these things, the wrath of Yahweh comes on the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So we have to be mindful of the company that we keep also. We have to be mindful of the company that we keep. We need to deal with people who have like minds and like purpose and striving to please the Most High, striving to be a light, striving to help those that are in darkness, striving to be an example. And that's what we're supposed to do, Israel. We're not supposed to be, because when we sin, we're asking for death. And what are we doing? Right now, while we're living, we're supposed to be dying to sin so that we can live everlasting, have an everlasting life. We're supposed to be dying. But if we're striving to live this life, not according to Torah, we're going to die. We're going to die. So we want to live. We want to have everlasting life. And we want to strive not to sin. Strive to be righteous. Strive to be like the old shore. Blameless. Blameless. Because as long as you're striving to do, you know, you're striving and you're doing the right thing, the Most High will definitely protect you. He definitely will look over you. He definitely would fight your battles for you. Because why? You're fighting a battle for him. And like we read in previously, how he reciprocates that. He reciprocates that love right back to you. You show him love, he's going to show you love. Even though he shows us love all the time. But when you definitely constantly showing him love, he's going to constantly show you love. You know, and he's going to pour out blessings on you. Pour out blessings on you. But when you sin and do evil, he's going to give you that also. He'll give you what you want for that. He'll give you calamities and all kinds of bad stuff. Go back and read that. Adversity. Oh, I looked that word up, you know, when I looked up evil and how evil in the Hebrew means adversity. I looked adversity up, and it reads a state or instance of serious and continual difficulty and misfortune. So when we sin and we wonder why our car broke down, you lost your bus fare, you know, your pipes in your bathroom then popped, you then got paid and you can't pay everything. Why? Because you sent it. He's paying you back. He's giving you your just dessert. Evil also, look that word up, morally reprehensible. Sinful, wicked, bad character, bad conduct. So we have to be mindful of our conduct also and how we interact with people. Because we can't call ourselves a believer and have a smug attitude towards someone. That's not right. That's evil. So we have to pay attention to everything about ourselves if we're calling ourselves Israel, because we're representing Yahushua. And we know Yahushua was representing the Father. And so we don't want to be a bad representation of our big brother and our Father. We don't. But we have to be mindful. So, fam, I wish everybody a good Shabbat, pleasant slumber, and I'm going to conclude a brief prayer. Merciful Father, thank thee for allowing us to go through thy word. We ask of thee to protect us from dangers seen and unseen. We ask of thee to allow us to stand on your word in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. For we know you're always with us, but we want you to know that we're with you also. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Good night, fam. Have a peaceful slumber.